This is Sophie Seymour, sitting down for an oral history interview recorded for the Community Library of Voice and Sound with Kit Ballancombe on June 2nd, 2026, and we are currently upstairs in Hudson Hall. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Kit Ballancombe. I am 48. I am a single queer parent, and I live in Germantown, where I've been for about a dozen years.
So we are sitting down for the second time.
That's right.
To record an oral history today. Where would you like to start your story today?
I'll start with some background. I grew up in Massachusetts in very rural Plymouth, near the Rock, but actually in the woods near a lake with my older brother and two parents. My grandparents lived nearby. They had a house on the lake, and I had two cousins who grew up very close with us. We're sort of collectively the four boys. And I was there until pretty much in that one house until I left for college. I struggled a bit with college admissions, ended up going to Boston College, which, while a good school with a good reputation, was not where I wanted to be. And was really only able to make that through a couple of years there, where my mental health got pretty poor, and I took a temporary leave of absence that became long term. I had a particular skill set in graphic design that I had picked up by being on the yearbook committee in high school. And I found a job first at the university and then off campus doing design and for a PR company in Boston, and realized that if I wanted to make an actual living, I did need to get more of a degree. So I found my way to the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. And I started a long life in New York. I was there for about 12 years, sometimes in Chelsea, while I was in school. Most of the time I lived in Brooklyn, bounced around a lot. I did go out to San Diego for about 2 years, followed a boyfriend out there, and then went back to Brooklyn. And I did love that. I did find, in many ways, found myself as an adult there, a queer life, a life surrounded by roommates and friends and their friends, and that did create a sense of community for me. But it did also feel overwhelmed by the constant stimulus of living in the city. And at some point did feel like I was ready to get out of there, and found myself really looking for a partner to leave the city with. And I came across somebody else who was on the same journey, on that same, with that same goal. And very quickly we met. We were sold some land in Greene County, with the intention of building a house on it. We got engaged. We found a surrogate, got a dog, and moved to Hudson to be near this land to figure out what we were going to do with it. It was a lot all at once, and ultimately too much for that relationship. There were problems. There were signs early on that that was going to be hard, and not that was going to be hard. But we did. We were shortly after, about six months after the wedding, the baby was born, and our landlord came to us and told us that we had a month to move out because he was selling the building. To which I said, I haven't taken a shower in a month. I am not being packing my house, packing my apartment and moving. The new buyers did give us a little bit of time, but the urgency became, rather than figure out what to do with that land in Greene County, just to find a house that we weren't going to be able to be kicked out of. And that's how I ended up in Germantown. It was meant to be a temporary stop, but it has become where I am now most of the time, solo, with my daughter who lives there half-time. And it is not all that I dreamed of when moving up here. Well, there's a lot that I do that is quite beautiful about the quiet rural life of Germantown. It's also very isolating and very lonely and very quiet. And I don't have a lot of options about what I can do from there, particularly with, you know, raising a daughter whose other parent lives in this area, and we've agreed to stay close to make that easy on her.
Would you like to share a bit about what your life is like these days?
Yeah. Really, the underlying consistent feeling is loneliness. In the same sort of quick few years' time, I had a number of things, major life things, fall apart. My relationship fell apart. We were started living in opposite ends of the house and figuring out what to do next, with a very young child. When the pandemic hit, suddenly we were back into just only having each other, to socialize and live with. Friendship groups really shattered during that time. 6 months in, I abruptly lost my job, which had been half-time remote anyway, but I lost my job that I had had as creative director for a really great nonprofit that I've been working with for 8 years. That really felt like being thrown from a train in the middle of a dark tunnel with really no light visible at either end. It was a really dark time that in many ways I still haven't really recovered from, on that front. Finding remote work has proved very difficult, and I sort of gig here and there, that I could, things that I can do remotely. But, you know, being the age I am with a high level of experience, but specific to nonprofits and the arts and public spaces. It's just been extremely hard when that industry has lost a ton of funding themselves, and they just don't have budgets for design and marketing, and those that do, I don't know if I'm losing out to younger candidates or, you know, digital native candidates, I don't know, but that has been continued to be really challenging. I also, a couple years after that, my older brother that I had really drifted apart from in many ways for a long time, diagnosed with a rare invasive cancer in his kidneys, and he died about 7 or 8 months after being diagnosed. I only saw him once in that time between knowing. I saw him right before he died. That has been hard, and there was a lot of feeling of maybe regret, loss of opportunity that, you know, we have been apart. While I didn't really understand why, it always seemed like maybe there was a chance that we would reconnect. Certainly thought that he would be around to help my parents as they got older. And definitely feel scared and a bit resentful that it's just me now to do that. And another key piece that came up for me during that time over the last few years is coming to realization and acceptance of an understanding of of where my childhood went, if that's a way into that. I don't remember. I hadn't, my whole adult life, hadn't remembered my childhood before the age of about 14. Maybe a few sort of snapshot memories here and there, but really not much. Yeah, I mean, to the point where my parents wanted to take, took my daughter and I to Disney World a few years ago. And I knew that we had taken a trip there as a little kid. Then I was a little kid. I saw, seen pictures of myself with the Mickey ears, you know, standing with Pluto and, you know, all of that. But I didn't remember it at all. I felt really bad about that. I felt terrible that I didn't remember. I felt like there was something, you know, not just that specifically, but, you know, all this stuff, there was something wrong with me for not remembering. But anyway, so on that trip, it was like there were pieces of it. I mean, all of it felt like I was experiencing it for the first time as an adult. I did have one moment where I had a glimpse Diploma of Recognition. We went to the Swiss Family Robinson tree when we were walking through there. I had this revelation, like, I remember this. This is amazing. And just later that night, I was talking about how I remembered it, how that was cool. And my parents said, you know, I think the time we saw that was when we came here when you were in middle school. And it just devastated me because I didn't even know that we went when I was in middle school. So this was my relationship to my childhood, was just trying to piece it together over the years through stories that I heard others tell. It almost felt like it wasn't real that I didn't believe it, because when I would tell people that I didn't remember, like, nobody found that as shocking as I felt like it was, or as big of a deal. You know, when I would see the photographs of, like, the cousins growing up in the lake, and it seemed nice, and sort of held a lot of confusion and shame around not having those memories. So I bring this up because during this time, the last few years, when things got really bleak for me, I was reading, this happened to be me reading a memoir by Jonathan Van Ness, the TV personality, and they just sort of in passing, it's not even a focus of a chapter, they talked about abuse that they experienced as a child. I don't remember the details of it now, but some sort of sexual trauma as a child. And I suddenly felt an overwhelming recognition and a sinking, overwhelming feeling that that was my story. And pretty quickly, chunks of memories and, yeah, feelings started to come back. I started talking about it with a few folks in my family, asking questions mostly about what they did or didn't remember. I had a feeling that my parents had known about some of it. They said they didn't claim to have not. It was, you know, being a family, I can't help but wonder if my brother had any shared experience, anything like that. I mean, so much of our lives were so close and mirrored each other in so many ways. I wonder, and I am, you know, at a big loss for not being able to talk to him about what he does or doesn't remember about any of that. You know, but I know what I know to be true, which is abuse that I experienced from priests at the church that I went to. I was an altar boy at, starting from about age 6 through about 14. And then again with a middle school band teacher. And it's kind of given me a lot of answers. like the question of what is wrong with me that I have felt all along is just the realization that there's not, this is something that happened to me that I have not, you know, my brain protected me from as a child to keep it separate from myself. But it is now something that I have to learn to integrate into my life and into my story and who I am in order to maybe move on. I can see the ways that it has impacted relationships and sense of self throughout my entire adult life, with, you know, my troubles with trust, my way I never understand what people expect from me, always assuming that there is an expectation and never quite knowing how to fulfill it. Why just relationships and friendships are so hard for me to maintain. The ones that I've had have been very, I guess, sort of situational, and they don't last, which has always been hurtful and something that felt terrible, you know. And I'm guess I'm speaking about it because I need to take that shame and confusion and just put it where it belongs, which is not on me. That there's not something wrong with me and I did not do anything wrong. I need that to be heard and validated and yeah, I don't know. Maybe it will lead me somewhere that's a little... It can only lead me someplace less isolated than how I feel now.
Where would you like it to lead you?
Well, I feel like I've never really understood who I am. I think that one of the things this did is rob me of an opportunity to figure out who I was as a young person. And I've always sort of therefore been afraid to express who I am because I don't have confidence in it or in myself, and afraid that whatever I do or say, I'm going to push people away, because I tend to lose people without really understanding why. So sort of better to just not show too much. You know, but I'm realizing I kind of at a point where I don't really have anybody to left to push away. Like, it's all, there will be people that this is too hard to understand, to deal with, to be able to engage with. But maybe there are people who can, I don't know, empathize one way or another, either through experience or yeah, whatever they've been through. Then maybe there's an opportunity to let go of the old ways that were not working, and maybe there's an opportunity to connect with people by just letting go of that fear and shame. And if not, I mean, hey, I know there are stories of people who don't even grasp this about themselves or let themselves know it or engage with a history of abuse like this until they're much older. I know that happens. In fact, I am taking steps to get accountability from the church, with, you know, lawyers and mediation and all sorts of things in motion. And this is common enough of a story that there are actually processes and funds and things set in place for when people come forward with these accusations or stories. That is to say, you know, that if it even if it doesn't do much for me, maybe hearing me talk about it or be open about it can help somebody else with recognition of their own story or with their own life, or just feel a little less afraid themselves, and maybe it can make a difference in their lives.
What would you want to say to someone that may be the case for?
I was just thinking about the impact that losing my brother at 49 and previously another cousin at 29 has made me see that waiting to share this. Could mean that I don't get the opportunity. Like, I just don't know how much time you have left. And so I think that would be part of the message, is to not wait. To deal with this and kind of try to move on, or move with. I can fully relate to the desire to say, this is something that happened 40 years ago. Can I just move on and put it behind me? But I know that that's not how it works, and I have come to understand how it has, this experience at that age, those ages, has seeped into everything about my life and how I experience myself and my relationships. So not dealing with it isn't an option. It's something that we deal with whether we want to or not. And I would say that I get how incredibly hard this is and how unfair it is, and it is unfair. You know, and whether it's those experiences as a child or the loneliness and isolation for whatever reason, I say that I get it, and that I know there are times when it feels like it is too much and too hard. And a lot of the just find hope kind of messages usually fall pretty flat for me. But I would offer that for me, the days that it feels like it's too hard, I have come to tell myself I only have to make it through today. And if it feels consuming or all-consuming, it's just not today. Maybe that's a useful framework. You also asked me last night, last time we talked through this, you know, if I had something that helped me have a reason to make it through the day. Well, it is sometimes when I am not with her, it is hard to remember, but I do always remember that I have my daughter who, well, some days feels like my only reason. She is enough of a reason. I know that she needs me here in whatever state that I am in. It's way better for her than to not have me here. And for me, she is what I get to look forward to. She is awesome and joy and I get to pour a lot of protection, attention, making sure she is heard and believed and seen and understood. She knows that she is, that she, as possible, all the things that I don't believe that I was. And when I'm able to do that for her, maybe it heals me a little bit in doing that.
Would you like to share a memory you've had together?
I think it's just everything that I would just want to, you know, what I hang on to the relationship that I have with her and the small moments that are, about connection and presence. And it's not always, you know, parenting is hard. At the times that it hits, that we're just laughing together about anything small. Feels like that's enough in those moments.
We have about 20 more minutes together. Is there anything we haven't gotten to in your story that you'd like us to?
I think I'd prefer to leave it there tonight. I appreciate this opportunity. One piece of me, one part of me. telling my story, and I think the more that I tell it, the more it feels like it's actually mine. So I'm just getting there.
How did it feel to tell it today?
Yeah, maybe a little stronger.
Thank you so much, Kit.